Today we're reading from Psalm 19. So if you want to get your church Bible, you will find this on page 552. We're going to read the whole psalm, Psalm 19. The heaven declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than the honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. So we're getting into our series on the Psalms and looking with one eye at the structure of the whole of the collection, all 150 Psalms, what we call the Psalter, and then choosing one Psalm in particular each week to look at with our other eye. And I've been saying that the Psalter isn't a random collection, but a very carefully curated one. And there are plenty of signs that the Psalms have been assembled into a careful order. So, for instance, the Psalter is divided into five books, just as there are five books in the Torah. And this suggests that the Psalter has been designed for us as a second Torah, as a way of receiving God's instruction and guidance through prayer and worship, as well as through law and story. And we're concentrating at the moment on Psalms from Book 1. And nearly all of those Psalms are attributed to David. Very prominently, though, the first two Psalms are not Psalms of David, and they introduce the main themes of the whole collection: a love of God's word, the Torah, and a hope for the coming Messiah. And we're going to see those two themes played out as we pick and choose psalms over the weeks. And today, we've got a psalm that expresses love for the Torah. But what do I mean by Torah? Well, it's what the Jews called the first five books of the Bible. Sometimes Christians call them the Pentateuch. And when the word occurs in the Bible, it's usually translated law. Because, of course, the Torah contains the laws that were given to Israel. First, the Ten Commandments, then the 613 other laws that were given at different times during their wilderness wanderings. But the Torah isn't all laws, of course. It contains many stories, stories of creation, of the early history of the world, of Abraham and his descendants, and the journey of the children of Israel to the Promised Land. And there are poems and songs and long lists of names and all sorts. A better translation of the word Torah would be instruction, or guidance, or even wisdom. So if the Psalter is designed to act as a second Torah, then we should expect plenty of instruction and guidance and wisdom. And Psalm 19 doesn't disappoint. So, if you'd like to have a look at it, page 552 is where it begins. And as you look at the start of it, you think, well, wait a minute, this isn't about the Torah at all. It's about the heavens, saying that they speak of God's glory. Not out loud, but for those who hear them right, their voice can be heard. And the greatest glory of all is the sun. Nothing is hidden from its heat. But I don't think, ah, oh, nice, the sun keeps us warm, because that's not what it would have been like. We should be thinking of the piercing, blinding heat of a Middle Eastern sun. Listen to how C.S. Lewis describes this passage. First, the psalmist thinks of the sky. Then he thinks of the sun. Finally, of its heat. Not, of course, the mild heats of our climate, but the cloudless, blinding, tyrannous rays hammering the hills, searching every cranny. Then at once, in verse 7, he is talking of something else, which hardly seems to him something else, because it is all-piercing, all-detecting sunshine. And the something else is, of course, the law of the Lord, the Torah, God's word, God's wisdom. God's instruction is as all-powerful, as all-seeing, as life-giving as the sun. And in verses 7 to 9, we've got a lovely little poetic unit. There are six little phrases, each mentioning the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And then right at the end of the whole psalm, there's a seventh mention of Yahweh. Six plus one, which is the same shape as we get in Genesis chapter 1, when the 7 days of creation are set out in the same 6 plus 1 pattern. Now, in poetry, it's worth noticing these numbers and patterns, because they're not there by accident. That's how Hebrew poetry was written. It's not like English poetry that generally rhymes, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, you're very sweet and I love you. Or roses are red, violets are blue, some poems rhyme, but this one doesn't. It's funny because we know how poetry works and it, you know, gives us a jolt at the end, doesn't it? Hebrew poetry works in different ways. You need to think of patterns and numbers and repeated ideas. So what you've got in verses 7 to 9, if you just look at them, you've got the something of Yahweh is something doing something. Six times over. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, the fear, the ordinances of the Lord are perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, and sure. And then the things that they do are described. So it's got this perfect little pattern repeating all the way through. It's very small, it's very neat, it's very rhythmical. And in Hebrew, it's even better than it is in English. I can't speak Hebrew properly, but this is something like how verse 7 is meant to sound. Torah Yehovah Tamim, Shuv Nefesh. Torah Yehovah Aman, Hakam Pethi. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. It's 10 words in Hebrew, and the NIV in English needs 21 to get the same message across. So simple, so pure, so memorable. But hang on a minute. Haven't I always been taught that the law was bad? Well, not bad, but not very good compared to Jesus. And as the psalm draws to a close, the psalmist is actually saying that the law is better than gold and more sweeter than honey. And what was it that Paul said in Galatians? The law was just our guardian until Christ came. And the word that Paul uses there to compare the law is a tutor who would look after the children in a Roman household until they grew up. What he's saying is that the law was there for a while until we could manage without it. A modern example might be a driving instructor. You need the instructor sat next to you while you're learning to drive, but once you've passed your test, you can drive on your own. You don't need someone in the passenger seat any longer telling you what to do. But that doesn't mean that Paul is saying that the law is bad. On the contrary, it's there to serve a good purpose. But knowing Christ is better. But if the law is all you've got, it's still beautiful. And for the people of David's time, this is all they knew of God. All they had was the Torah. And they loved it for its beauty and its power and its wisdom. It was the word of God to them. It was precious. But now, of course, the word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen a grace and a truth that goes even beyond the beauty of the law. God has written his word on our hearts, and nothing is hidden from his gaze. Which brings us back to the idea of the sun blazing down on us, revealing every last detail of the earth. James, in his letter, says this: whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I couldn't put it better myself. Amen.